Please be seated. Before I read the first scripture, you should have in your bulletins this sheet of paper, which has the account of the Jesus cleansing the leper in Matthew and Mark and Matthew and Luke. If you don't, there's someone on the piano over here. If you wanted to raise your hand, I guess somebody could get them to you, but it'll help you to follow along. As I will be mentioning some things from each of these accounts. And I'll begin with the second scripture verse for tonight, which is in Mark chapter 1, first on your sheet here, verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once, and said to him, See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priests, and offer for yourself cleansing, for you are cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every direction. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we thank you how we get such a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels. And we pray that in this account of the Lord Jesus cleansing a leper, that you would show us, that you would help us to see him, to see Christ in all his glory, in all his compassion and mercy for sinners. And Father, that you would just open our eyes and open our minds to your word, that you would bless it, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Wasn't completely ignorant of leprosy, the disease of leprosy, before I began to prepare for the message, but didn't have a whole lot of knowledge about the disease other than what we normally see in pictures and maybe have read about. But I did remember back in the 1980s reading a book, or at least part of a book, called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. And one of the authors of that book was Dr. Paul Brand. And he was a Christian doctor, and it was written from the perspective of a Christian and just showing the glory, the glories of our bodies and how we are indeed truly fearfully and wonderfully made. And part of that book, Dr. Paul Brand had discussed the fact that what he had discovered in his life of ministering and serving lepers in India and here in the United States, the fact that one of the most devastating side effects of leprosy was the numbness that occurred to the limbs, to the extremities, the hands, the feet, the legs. Not only numbness, but you couldn't feel pain. As the disease attacks the nerves, you lose a sensation of pain. And that being devastating in the fact that when a person with leprosy can't feel pain, they injure themselves. It leads to all kinds of infections because of cuts that aren't treated. Because when you step on a nail, you can't feel it. When you touch a hot coal, you get burned, you can't feel it. And that's how these people lose their limbs. Before the work of this great doctor, Paul Brand, people thought that the limbs somehow just fell off and crumbled away. But it wasn't true. He did research and studied it and found out that it was because of the lack of pain that the limbs were injured and disfigured, and actually they lost limbs. It's a devastating disease, certainly not the worst disease ever known to mankind. Certainly diseases like cancer and Alzheimer's disease and heart disease are certainly worse, but there's this particular defiling and horrible aspect of the disease of leprosy, especially when it goes untreated. It not only affects people inwardly, as it attacks the nervous system and does damage the bacteria that gets into the body somehow, not even quite sure how, but it also it has a devastating effect of the appearance of the person. It affects them outwardly, from the head of their toe to the bottoms of their feet, with these lumps and bumps and horrible disfigurements. So it is a devastating disease, and especially in biblical times, could lead to death. Now much less so because of antibiotics and treatment. If caught soon enough, they can stop the progression of the disease, although they're unable to undo what's already been done, undo the nerve damage and the disfigurement that's already taken place. Dr. Paul Brand is, as you begin to read about him, becomes like one of those heroes that you become familiar with when you read more about him. And certainly him and his wife spent a good part of their lives, almost 50 years, ministering. He became a doctor, and she became a doctor, and they dedicated their lives to serving others in India at first for 19 years and then back in the States, training other physicians, other doctors, to work with lepers and to restore their hands. He was a gifted hand surgeon, and he transplanted tendons and restored function. He had formerly been a carpenter and used his carpentry skills to make prosthetics and things to help these people, and went a long way to the understanding of the disease, poured his life out of faith to Christ. So he obviously a hero and wrote several books, one including Pain, the Gift That Nobody Wants. We don't realize the blessing of pain, of feeling pain. And we can see in the disease of leprosy a particular picture of sin and its devastating effects. Tonight, the outline will be leprosy and the picture that Scripture gives of this as a picture of sin, its polluting effects and spreading effects and the incurableness of it, the hardening of it. Next, the leper's desperate prayer, as we see in this text, how the leper cried out, implored the Lord Jesus Christ, begged him for healing. Next, we'll look at the Lord's response, the Lord's powerful and merciful, compassionate response to the leper. Also, we'll look at Christ's command to the leper, kind of an unusual command that he gave, to go, show himself to the priest, but not to tell anybody about this healing. And finally, some applications. Now, as you have your green sheet with the other accounts in Matthew and Luke, we again get a full picture in the Gospels. When we see an account of an event in all three Gospels, sometimes things are added, sometimes things are left out, but we get a fuller picture always of this event. And we can see again how in both Mark and Luke, the leper implored or pleaded with the Lord Jesus Christ, kneeling down. Luke says, He fell down on his face. We see the fact that the doctor, Luke, adds the information that we have there in Luke about the leper being full of leprosy. He was looking from a physician's standpoint, and he saw the leper being full of leprosy. That means he was far gone in his leprosy. But we see, again, the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ, how Jesus was moved. The words even mean moved internally, moved in his bowels, in his heart, with compassion for this leper. And it says that in Matthew, points it out, and how he stretches out his hand and actually touches this leprous man who was full of leprosy. With his own hands, he touched him. It says in Matthew's account that the leper came to Jesus and worshipped him. What else could we believe when we see him falling on his knees, pleading and falling on his face before the Lord Jesus Christ, but that he worshiped him. And then we see the instantaneous cure, the powerful cure, the immediacy of the cure. It says that immediately he was cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. Immediately the leper was cleansed. So we get a full picture of this event, this healing, this amazing occurrence, this amazing demonstration of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in the healing of the leprosy. So first, we see the leprosy pictured in Scripture as a dramatic picture of sin. The Lord could have presented a cure for us in this detail using any disease. And certainly, again, there are other more devastating diseases. The Lord Jesus Christ, we're told, cured all manner of sickness and disease. But he points to the leprosy in a particular way because it so clearly is a picture of sin in Scripture. We read in the healing of Naaman the Syrian, and we see it in other places in the Old Testament. We see it as a part of a curse that people who sinned against the Lord, the leprosy clung to them. It was part of a curse, and many, many people, even today, look at lepers as if they've been cursed by God. That's the stigma. That's the horribleness of the disease, as it causes such separation, such a defilement and a stigma to the person that has it. But certainly a clear representation of sin, picture of sin in the sinner. First of all, by its polluting effects, it defiles the whole man. The whole man is defiled by the sin. And it makes one unclean and separates from family, from the congregation of Israel, it separated them, and from the ordinances, from even the religious ceremonies, it separates them. If you turn with me, please, to the book of Leviticus, we can get a clear picture of just how the devastating effects of leprosy and its separation for the poor leper, the poor man, the poor woman, the poor child. It affects children more readily than it does adults. Can you imagine being a child and having leprosy? And then growing up into that, separated from friends and family and from the Lord. In Leviticus chapter 13 and verses 45 and 46, we read, "Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall be covered, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall be unclean all the days he has the sore. He shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." How devastating to be alone, not being so sick and so miserable. And on top of all that, to be alone, to be ostracized, cast out, not allowed to see your family, not allowed to be with the people, your friends, in the congregation of those you know and love, having to say unclean, it just adds to the devastating effects. But we see a picture of sin. We see how sin pollutes the whole man, the whole being. Sin, and what does sin do? It separates us. It separates us from God. It separates us from one another. In that, we see a picture of sin. But leprosy was a terrible disease, and it separated the leper from the worship of God. It made him unclean in the eyes of others. And we can see the fact that the leper would be, not only he would be able to, he would have to separate himself, but people would run from a leper. They didn't know how it spread. They didn't know how contagious. They knew it was contagious, but they didn't know how. And as we do today, that it's actually not very contagious. But they didn't know, and they would run from them. But this gives us such a picture of the polluting, defiling nature of sin in the sinner. It defiles. Secondly, the spreading nature of the disease. Although it isn't easily contagious, it is contagious, and family members and those who come in intimate contact with the leper would get it. And that's why the Lord had the separation, at least one reason, besides giving us this beautiful, this amazing picture of sin. Begins in a small area. Can you imagine the horror? Can you imagine the horror? What makes a disease worse is when you see the end of that disease. If you see somebody get a disease and within a day or two, writhing in horrible pain, dies from that disease, and then you come down with that disease, can you imagine the fear and the horror? Because you know the end of the disease. Well, that's what made this disease so bad. It started out as a small little patch on the skin and then spread, and spread to the whole person, covering them head to toe. Like sin, it defiles the whole person. It affects the whole man, every part. Sin devastates the sinner. It's our nature. It came from the fall. It spread to all men, for all have sinned. It spread on all of us, and it affects every aspect of our being, every part of the man, the whole mind. The mind is darkened. The eyes are spiritually blind. The ears are closed to the truth of God's word. The lips, our lips are corrupted. They speak lies. They curse. They speak slander against one another. We speak slander against one another. We're like, they used to say, the lepers were dead men walking. And that's what we are before Christ, before we're saved. We're like dead men walking. We're dead spiritually, yet we're walking around. We don't even know it. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verses 5 and 6, the prophet Isaiah says, the whole head is sick. Speaking about sin and its devastating effects on us. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. What a picture of the devastating effects of sin on the sinner. And that's true of every single sinner. That's the devastating effects. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all like an unclean thing, referring to us, all our righteousness like filthy rags. There's none that escapes the devastating effects of the fall, the devastating effects of sin. Thirdly, it's incurable. At that time especially, there was no cure, no help, none whatsoever. When you got leprosy, you had to separate yourself and you faced a lifetime of horror, of separation, of loneliness, without a cure, without help. There were no doctors, no medicines that could cure, no priest, no matter what they did, could help. And certainly, the leper himself couldn't help himself. He was helpless before this disease. And there again, we have such an amazing picture of sin. We are helpless before this disease. Going back to our first scripture reading in Kings, in 2 Kings, we saw that as Naaman went to this king of Syria, the king of Syria tore his clothes in amazement and in shock. He says, am I God to kill and to make alive that this man sends a man to me to heal him of leprosy? This king knew that he wasn't God, that he could do nothing, and only God could heal a leper like that. Only God. And we can certainly see the analogy, the clear analogy between that and sin. Only God can cleanse us of our sins. Only Christ, only the blood of Christ can cleanse us from our sin. God alone. We as sinners can do nothing to save ourselves, to make one inch of ourselves clean from the defilement of sin. We can do nothing. We need to cry out to God for mercy from this disease of sin. And it is a disease that's taking us to hell apart from Christ. It's a devastating, incurable disease. Man can't cure it. God alone. God alone can forgive you of your sins, can cleanse you of the defilement of sin, that devastating disease of sin. God alone can change our hearts. God alone can give us that cleansing from sin that we need daily, even as saved sinners need daily that cleansing. Romans 5:6 says, for when we were still without strength, completely helpless, still without strength, In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Praise God that he died for the ungodly. He came into this world to save sinners. We are helpless before this incurable disease of sin. Fourthly, in the insensitivity that it brings to pain and the numbness that comes from this disease, causing great damage to limbs, as I said before, and organs, injury and infection, cuts that don't heal, that aren't noticed. The sinner doesn't feel his sin. We, by nature, are blind to the effects, the devastating effects of our sin. We don't feel it. If we did, we'd flee to Christ. That's why some of you here tonight haven't fled to Christ yet, because you don't feel your sin. You're like the leper who's numb, who can't feel the pain, who can't feel any pain in his limbs and gets cut and gets burned and doesn't know it. Sin is eating away, is killing you spiritually, has killed you spiritually. You're dead, and you don't know it. You're experiencing the effects of sin every single day, and the sinner is numb to it. He's dead to his own condition. The grace of God and the grace of God alone can awaken a sleeping sinner to the effects of sin. And even we who are saved are oftentimes numb to our own sin. We need the Holy Spirit as well to show us daily where we're sinning, where we're going astray, where we're blind to that, to our own sin that still remains in us and causes us pain and suffering and trouble, and just like leprosy does to the leper. We need to see it as well. We need to see our sin and to flee to Christ, the only remedy for sinners. In Revelations 3:17, the Lord has a word for those in the church at Laodicea. He says, "Because you say I am rich and become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know," is the blindness, "and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." If we want to see the numbing effect of sin, if we want to see the hardening effect of sin, go to the nursing home ministries. I know that many of you have gone from time to time. And the majority of those people there, even though they'll sit for the service, they are numb to their own sin and guilt. They're numb. They're blind to the remedy. They're there. They've been hardened by sin's deceitfulness for years, for 60, for 70, for 80, for 90, some 100 years, hardening and being hardened by sin. And they're blind to it. You talk to them, and they haven't got a clue. Don't wait. Cry out to the Lord to make you alive, to make you know your sin, to feel it. It's your only hope. It's the only help for sinners. Next, we see the leper's response. We see this man, this leper, who we don't have a whole lot of information about except this. He was in the right place at the right time, and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like sinners are in the right place at the right time when Christ is near in his word. Tonight, you're here. You're in the right place at the right time. Christ is near through the preaching of the word. The sinner was in the right place. He saw, it says, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came near to him, and he implored him. The word doesn't communicate what it needs to. He was crying out. He was beseeching. He was pleading with the Lord Jesus Christ for help on his knees, falling on his face. Do you think he was serious? Do you think he felt his sin, his need of Christ, and this devastating effects of this disease? Do you think he was earnest? Do you think he just said, "Lord, help me"? No, he pleaded. He cried out to the Lord in earnest. He saw the Lord, and he saw his need, and cried out, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Like the sinner in the parable of the tax collector and the sinner, he cried out, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." The leper wasn't doubting. He was crying out in faith. He saw his need, he saw his sin, and he saw the remedy in Christ. He saw that Christ in Christ alone could save him, could heal him by his power and his mercy. And he cast himself at his feet for mercy. And in his plea, we see that he believed. It was a believing plea. He said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He wasn't saying that the Lord wouldn't be willing. He knew the Lord's power to be able to cleanse him, to be able to heal him of his disease. And he just threw himself on the Lord's mercy. That's all those words mean. He says it was like us when we pray, Lord, if it's your will be done, not mine. That's how we should pray. And that's how he prayed. He cried out. He implored the Lord Jesus Christ, if he was willing, please, Lord, have mercy on me and cleanse me. You can make me clean, he prayed. We need to be more earnest in our prayers. Sometimes we go about our prayers in such a casual way, in such a heartless way. Many times the Lord hears us anyway. But how often are we in earnest? How often will we pray like it's our life dependent on it? And you who are apart from Christ, how have you ever cried out, imploring, beseeching, pleading with the Lord to save you? You need to do that. You need to cry out like it, your life depends on it. Your eternal soul does. The Lord will not disappoint you if you do. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. We need to cry out. In the scripture called to worship, we read in Psalm 34, in verse 6, this poor man, the psalmist said, cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. This poor man. And you, all of you who are saved, at some point, poor and needy, cried out, and the Lord heard. The Lord hears those prayers. He hears those cries. He hears those cries for mercy, and he saves. And he saves. He says, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And sin is certainly big trouble. We need daily, even as believers, to confess our sins. We're clean, but we need to be cleansed daily, having our feet washed. The Lord is faithful. It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we see our sin, we need to plead with the Lord for forgiveness. Well, we see the Lord again, and his response. And this should encourage all of us. The response of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing response. He responds with power and with compassion. I am willing, he says. I am willing. Be cleansed. The Lord Jesus' response shows power and his willingness to cleanse and heal. He says, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed in Matthew. Lord, if you're willing, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. The Lord is willing. He's willing and able, able and willing to cleanse the most defiled sinner. No matter what you've done, no matter what sin, horrible sin, detestable sin, gross sin, defiling sin, murder, perversion, any kind of sin, lying, stealing, whatever you've done, the Lord is able to make you, able and willing to make you clean, just like he cleansed the leper with a word of power. And he has the power. He has the power. He spoke the world into existence. He has the power to create and sustain the universe. In that same power he uses to raise dead sinners. In a word, he saves, he cleanses. And he was moved. See the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's hard for us sinners to see that. It's hard for us to think of the Lord Jesus Christ as he is, fully God and yet fully man. He's touched with our infirmities. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. It means he can. He does sympathize. He's moved inside. His heart goes out to sinners. He's moved with compassion. He's moved because the sinner cried out. The sinner said, Lord, cleanse me. Cleanse me. He pleaded and he was moved, it says, inside, in his heart. And he touched him, physically touched him, defiling himself ceremonially. A beautiful picture of how the Lord Jesus Christ takes our sins, takes our putrid, defiling sins on himself and gives us back his pure robe of righteousness. He wasn't defiled in his nature, but he bears our sins. He takes them from us, just as he touched that leper. Who would want to touch a leper? Who would want to touch, especially knowing the danger, especially back then when people didn't know how it was spread? Putting their hands on a leper would be the last thing that anyone would want to do. And yet Jesus didn't heal him from afar. He didn't tell him to go wash in the Jordan. He touched the leper with his hands and healed him. He touched and cleansed the leper. Christ has all power in heaven and on earth. All things were created by him. He speaks and it's done. All manner of sin, we're told in Scripture, all manner of sin and defilement can be forgiven, can be cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood cleanses us from all sin. Finally, Christ's command. Again, it may seem like an unusual event that takes place after this miraculous healing and cleansing of the leper. We see that he gives him a command. He tells him to go and do something. And the word here in Mark is particularly strong. After the leprosy had immediately left him and he was cleansed, he strictly warns him and sent him away at once. The word there, strictly, means it's a very severe warning. He was in earnest. He didn't say, oh, well, go and be cleansed. He gave him a strict command, a strict warning. This is from the God of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has all power and authority in heaven and earth. He commanded the leper to do something. He said, he strictly warned him and sent him away and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way and show yourself to the priests. Offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So he gave him a command as a testimony to the priests. For obeying the ceremonial laws that were there. But again, a stern warning. It may seem strange to us. It does seem strange when we read it, when we hear it, that he would command him not to say anything. But he did. He gave him a stern warning. Back in Leviticus, in chapter 14, we can see the ceremonial law, the prescription that the law gave for the cleansing of a leper. If, in fact, the leprosy, having no medicine to cure it, no doctor who could help, no leper who could cleanse himself, but there were spontaneous times when it would spontaneously heal on its own. And so the Lord made provision in his law for that occurrence. It was probably very rare, and only it was attributed only to God's mercy and grace, but it would happen. The leprosy would go into remission, would disappear. Then the Lord said to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper, or for the day of his cleansing he shall be brought to the priest. And the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command him to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. Very interesting. Very much picture there of what the Lord does in salvation. The bird, one bird killed, his blood spilled. The other bird used to be dipped into the blood to be sprinkled. And it shall be sprinkled, and he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. And he who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that, he shall come into the camp and shall stay outside his tent 7 days. Amazing that the Lord would do that, would heal. Amazing the detail, the ceremonial lore, and that those pictures there, the one, two clean birds, the one dies, the blood is spilt, the one is dipped in with the hyssop and it's sprinkled. We can see a beautiful picture of the blood of Christ. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow, we're told in Psalm 51. So he gives them the command. There's no better fruit of our faith in obedience, no better evidence of true faith and true love for Christ than when we obey. He commanded him to obey. 1 Samuel 15:27 says, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. In his zeal, the leper didn't obey. But they still came. We can see, and it's hard for us to put the two together. It's hard for us to rationalize, understand man's sovereignty and man's responsibility on one hand and God's sovereignty on the other. God's sovereignty in all circumstances, even our sin, but man's responsibility. We're commanded to do certain things, and those things, if we don't obey, can oftentimes hinder the gospel, can hurt our testimony. So we need to obey. There are times when we need to be quiet. The Lord wants us to shut up, not speak. And then it's a time to speak. Usually our problem is more when we have opportunity, we don't speak. But there's certainly times when we need to be quiet and allow the Lord to work. Beautiful picture again of the cleansing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful picture of the need for obedience, out of love, out of the joy and the thankfulness the sinners have to the Lord Jesus Christ for saving and cleansing us. Some applications from this amazing story of the leper that Jesus cleansed. First, we can see that Christ is the sinner's only hope. He's our only hope. No matter what we do, no matter what we work at, no matter what we try, no matter how far we go in learning and doing and all the things that we can do, we're still stuck with one problem. We're still stuck with ourselves. We still have ourselves to deal with. And our worst enemy sometimes is ourself. We can't get rid of our own sin. Jesus is the sinner's only hope. Mortimer, F.L. Mortimer, said, how full of the labors of love was our Savior's life below. His life was full of these kind of things, these kind of labors of love. His principal object was to preach the gospel, but he confirmed his word by various miraculous cures. These bodily cures represented spiritual blessings that he came to bestow. They represented them. As he healed all manner of diseases without any exception, so he could forgive all manner of sins. For his blood cleanses from all sin. No disease was too bad for him to cure. No devil too strong for him to cast out. Neither was any sin, if repented of, too great for him to forgive. He declared, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. Again, the great interchange that takes place. He takes our sin. He becomes sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The great exchange, the heart of the gospel, our sin being imputed to Christ, his righteousness being imputed to us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Yes, we're helpless before our own sin. That's why we desperately need Christ. You need him here tonight if you've never come to him. If you've never truly repented of your sin and fled to Christ for refuge, you need to You need Christ desperately. You're helpless before this disease of sin. And we who have fled to refuge are still helpless before our own sin, the remaining sin that we have. We need to be more earnest in applying to Christ. How could we miss it? How could we forget that we still need Christ, that we still need his cleansing blood? We still need his power. We still need his grace every single day. How could we be so dull, so numb to our own need of Christ, daily need of him? Secondly, we need to respond in thankful obedience. The leper didn't respond in the right way. He hindered the work of Christ. He hindered the testimony. Well, we see the God's sovereignty, and it said that even still, they came, they flooded, they came to him, even still. Even though he had to go outside in deserted places, he couldn't go openly. He went to deserted places, but it was good because he prayed there. He went out and prayed. But it's still, we see the power of the gospel that says they came to him from every direction. They still came to be healed, to be cured, as God sovereignly worked in their hearts and showed them their need of Christ. They came to him. But we, who know better, need to respond daily in thankful obedience. Later on in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 14, we see the account of, it's called the anointing at Bethany, and it says, in verse 3, being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper. Now, some people think that this Simon was this leper who was healed. This is much later on. He opened up his home to Christ. And it says that they sat, as Christ sat at his table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard, and she broke the flask and poured it on his head. He opened up his home. He was thankful. And he always, if this was Simon, or maybe it was just another leper who was cleansed, but he was known as Simon the leper. Even though he was no longer a leper, he was cleansed from his leprosy. And that's a picture of us as well. We're sinners. We'll never be anything but sinners. And that reminds us of the grace that God has bestowed on us. It reminds us how much we need to be thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to show him our love and thankfulness daily. We're still plagued with sin. We're still sinners. Paul says he was the chief of sinners. He didn't forget how he persecuted the church. He didn't forget those things. He didn't forget his desperate condition, even though he was an apostle Paul. And we need to remind ourselves that we're still sinners, nothing but sinners. Save sinners, cleanse sinners, but sinners still. And to obey the Lord. It says in Luke chapter 17, in the story of 10 lepers, it says that the Lord Jesus Christ cleansed. It says, now it happened as he went through Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, that as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. They stood afar off because they were ashamed. It was the separation that took place with leprosy. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, one out of the 10, as he saw that he was healed, fell down and returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. That needs to be an example for us. We need to be thankful and to be willing to obey the Lord and to share with others the good news that we've been cleansed and we've been healed. And there's free forgiveness in Christ. If you'll flee to him, we need to be thankful and thankfully obey the Lord. Lastly, the wonderful picture again in Leviticus of that cleansing, ceremonial cleansing in this case, but picturing the true cleansing in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Leviticus 14, again, he says, "And the living bird, and the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in the earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it in cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop and dip them in, and the living bird in blood of the bird that was killed, and over the running water, and he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and it shall be let the living bird loose in the open field." There we see a wonderful picture, not only of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive all sin and to cleanse from all sin, but the freedom we have in Christ. We're new creations, new creatures in Christ. If you're still dead in your trespasses and sins, bound to your sin, which you are if you haven't fled to Christ, if you haven't really believed on Him, repented of your sins, and gone to Him for salvation, you can be free, and free indeed, with a freedom that's pictured there in that letting of that live bird go free. Freedom in Christ, cleansing, all sins forgiven, and new life in Christ. We need to value, oh, how we need to value our salvation and just meditate on these things daily. Let this account of the leper sink down deep in his desperate need of cleansing and our desperate needs, and the power and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it sink down into our minds and hearts and give us new strength and new courage each day, and let it draw us to Him. We need Christ. We need Him desperately every single day. And you who are apart from Christ, you need Him more than you know. That sin is a devastating disease. Flee to Christ. Flee really. Don't do it in your mind and say, imagine that you've done it, but do it really. Get down on your knees. Fall on your face. Cry out. Implore Him. Plead with Him to heal you. And you know what He's going to say? If you do that, He'll say, "I will. I am willing that you'll be cleansed, you'll be forgiven, you'll be saved, and then you can rejoice and be free in that freedom that only Christ can give." Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your precious word and precious truths and precious pictures that we see of our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We just pray that You'd bless Your word tonight, and we thank You for it. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.